Blog Talk Radio.
To Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful day, and I certainly am so happy that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to tune in and spend the next hour or so with me and my guest. Got a special, as I always say, a very special show lined up for you today, and momentarily you're going to see why. The title of today's show is Overcoming Obesity. The time has come. Are you ready? Overcoming Obesity, the time has come. Are you ready? Well, my special guest is going to talk about that today is Dr. Ruby Lathan, and she's a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative medicine focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a Ph.D. in industrial and systems engineering and a B.S. in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan serves as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and Healthy for Vegan cooking demonstrations. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chef. So, as you can see, Dr. Ruby Lathan is qualified, and I am very excited to have her back. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much, as always, for being a special guest on Juwanza for Life. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to another powerful interview.
Absolutely. I'm always glad to be here.
Well, Dr. Lathan, again, as you know, of course, tonight's show is on overcoming obesity. The time has come. Are you ready? There's so many people out there today that are experiencing weight issues, and not just women, as men, even children now, boys and girls, are experiencing weight issues. And I dare say that it's become an epidemic. And as a result of that, there are a lot of different other ailments that are associated with the obese epidemic obesity epidemic, and we'll get into some of that this evening. But so for my listeners, I just would like for them to know what actually got you started on this holistic health path. Again, from reading your resume, your bio, I mean, you do a lot in the holistic health field. You teach others about the benefits of proper nutrition using a plant-based diet. But what got you started on this path?
Sure. There's usually a trigger for most people, and that started in 2007 for me when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And really decided I wanted to find a natural treatment and cure for it as opposed to surgery. And so I started studying and came upon the benefits of a plant-based diet and a whole foods diet and how many people had been able to reverse cancer and a lot of other chronic diseases, including obesity, with a plant-based diet. So I switched to that type of a diet and lifestyle, and it was quite a dramatic change for me. And then in about a year, as I was monitoring to see how I was doing, the cancer was gone. I had another biopsy, and the cancer was no longer there. And I hadn't done anything other than change my diet, change my lifestyle, reduce my stress, and just change what I put on my plate, which from processed foods to whole foods. And so I was able to completely reverse cancer and keep my thyroid and not be on medication forever and, you know, go on and live a regular, normal life just by changing what I ate. And that was pretty miraculous for me. And I know there were so many other people like me who were given the same information that if you get this disease, this is how it's treated, and you're on this medication, and let us handle it. And I'm like, they don't have to do that. There's another way, a better way, a natural way to get your life back. And so I wanted to share that information with other people and say, hey, you know, you can take charge of your health. The doctors are not always right. They don't know everything. There's a big arena of information out here that they are ignoring. And that if you look at it for yourself, nothing but positive things would come from it. As I looked at what I was eating, even if I hadn't cured cancer, I was the healthiest I've ever been. So my health outcome would have been improved whether I did surgery or not. So that's always one thing to look at. It's like I felt like I was the healthiest, you know, cancer patient around because I felt great. I was eating the best food possible and just living a better life because of that. And so I just wanted to share that information with everyone else and get it out there that you can change your life, you can change your health diagnosis based on what you put on your plate.
You know, again, every time I hear your testimony, it's so powerful, and I want to just stress to the listeners who are tuning in that if you find yourself in a situation where you've gotten a bad report from the doctors, and you decide to do some research, and after, you know, finishing your research or gaining enough information, you decide to go a different route, that you're not going to get, in many or most cases, the support from your physician. Your doctor is not going to say, oh, yeah, you know, do the plant thing, you know what I mean? I recommend that, you know. If anything, they're going to tell you that it doesn't work. So I just want people to be
and
prepared.
And you know what's been frustrating for me, for example, is when I work with cancer patients who are doing both traditional and holistic, the doctor will often tell them, oh, well, don't do that now. Keep your weight on. It'll help you during the chemo. I mean, these are people who are obese, not just, you know, and I understand if it was someone, you know, who's on the verge of being too thin, yes, they need to keep their weight on, but they're telling obese people not to lose weight, not to go overboard with what they're changing their diet too much, you know, not just yet, when that is completely wrong information. And it's very disturbing to me when I hear that, and angering, because it's like they're already, you know, giving people this prescription that often fails and hampers their health and actually makes holistic treatments harder to work. And then they're also hampering the process of getting these people well at the same time. So, you know, you won't get the support. I mean, some are dismissive and saying, yeah, try whatever, it doesn't matter. Others will be outright and say it's not a good idea. So it's really about finding a balance and finding a doctor who will at least acknowledge what you're doing and kind of roll with you on it.
Could you talk about, too, the need for a support system, a support group to be there with you as you take this journey, this holistic journey, because it is a journey, and it's going to be step by step.
Yeah.
And along this journey, you're going to need friends, family members that when you get weak and you feel like, why am I doing this? Or, you know, in times if you ever feel like turning back, you got to have people in your corner, on your team that support you and encourage you to keep going. And because if you keep going, you're going to get there. But you can't be around people that are going to tell you, oh, you need to try. No, you need to listen to the doctor, you know. So could you just talk mm-hmm. about the need for a support group to, you know, help you along this journey?
Absolutely. I think that's critical. That was very important for me. When you have a cadre of people in white coats telling you what to do and discouraging you, that's kind of hard to hear when you're trying something new that you haven't tried before and you're not even 100% convinced yet and you're scared because your life is on the line. So I understand that position, and because of that position, it's imperative that you have a support system of knowledgeable people to help you along the way. I did come up with my own nutrition plan, but I consulted with numerous people before I got to that, you know, experts who knew how to use food to heal the body and things to boost the immune system. So I wasn't going it alone. I got all the information I possibly could from holistic physicians, from chiropractors, from naturopaths, from lots of natural folks, and read lots of stories to really help me have the courage to go forward with it. I mean, I was committed to it because I believed it. But, you know, without that support, it's very difficult when the doctors are discouraging you and almost scaring you to death, saying, you know, life expectancy and things like that. So it gets scary. So it's something you do need support with. You want to work with someone who's helped someone like this before, who knows about natural treatments, who knows how to put meal plans and food and supplements together to make sure you're getting what you need. You absolutely need a support system. And you will have to just tell your family and friends who are well-meaning to be quiet, that this is what you're going to do, and, you know, either just hush and go along with it or say nothing, you know, because out of concern, and it's also out of their lack of knowledge. Because as you're educating yourself on how the body works, they're not. So when they're seeing you juicing and doing all these things, they think you're doing, you know, something weird that's not going to work because they don't have the knowledge that you have begun to educate yourself with and arm yourself with. So it's hard for them to jump on board unless they start educating themselves too. And so that's why you get family members saying, you need to do something when you are actually doing something. So the support system is key, and, you know, your very close family and friends, you need to get them on board and educate them too, because the same thing that you're doing to cure cancer or whatever it is you're trying to cure will keep them from getting it and help them have a better life.
Everybody, as you can see, this show is going to be, it's already powerful. And if you're listening online, I just want to give the telephone number in case you have a question, you'd like to make a comment with Dr. Ruby Lathan. The phone number to call is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. And if you press 1 once you dial that number, then I'll bring you on board and you can ask your question or make your comment. As advertised, tonight's show is about overcoming obesity. The time has come. Are you ready? So now let's talk about obesity, doctor. For, you know, just to lay the foundation, there are some people that are overweight, and then there are some people that are considered obese. Where is the line drawn between just somebody that's overweight and somebody that is obese? What is, I guess, would be the definition, for lack of a better term, of someone that's obese?
Usually that's determined by the body mass index of a certain number. So, and the body mass index is basically your weight and your height comparison. So usually if you're over, there's a chart. So when you divide those numbers, and if you're over 30, you're considered obese. And if it's between, I think, about 25 to 29.9, you're considered overweight. And so you can look up that chart and see where you are on that scale with your height and weight, and it pretty much gives you a general idea of where you are. So looking at, you know, body fat and things like that. So that's pretty much how obesity versus overweight is determined.
And that's the BMI index, you say? Body mass index?
Yes.
Everybody, I want you to get a pad and a pencil because you might need to take notes. Okay, so that's the body mass index that determines, it's a chart, and it will determine where you are on that scale. And that will determine if you're just overweight or if you are obese. Now, doctor, there's some people out there that might feel like, okay, well, you know, I'm obese, I'm okay, you know, I'm okay with it. I look good in my clothes, you know, mm-hmm. I'm good, you know, and then you have other people that feel like, well, no, I'm not good. You know, when I take off my clothes, you know, I don't really like what I see. I don't even really like to look in the mirror, you know, and I really want to do something about it, you know. And there's more to just losing weight for cosmetic purposes, you know. You want to lose weight if you're obese, not just so that you can look good, you know. I think that's going to be a byproduct of the losing of the weight. That's going to come along with it. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel, you know, you're going to love what you're going to start to love what you see again. But could you talk about just the why be concerned about it? Because again, some
right.
people are obese and have been obese for years.
So,
I mean, and they don't seem to be
yeah.
concerned about it. Why is that something they should be concerned about?
Well, I guess first, you know, there's a whole self-love movement, which I think is important. You do need to love yourself wherever you are, however overweight you are, obese you are. You need to love yourself and love and appreciate every ounce of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that. Now, to me, there's a difference between accepting where you are and celebrating where you are. And I think a lot of this movement has kind of gone from just accepting and loving yourself to celebrating and making it the norm, kind of in a dangerous way, that says not only is it beautiful, and maybe some folks it is, and that's fine, but, you know, don't worry about it. You know, it's this is how big you are, and if you're big and beautiful, keep work it, girl. So you hear that a lot. I'm like, yes, work it. Wear your great clothes. You know, shop and look fabulous. However, you must know the risk factors that go along with that bigness. And so while I do think we should not, you know, shame people who are overweight and try to make them feel bad about themselves and say these negative things and discriminate against overweight, and having been overweight myself, I don't think that's the answer. Absolutely not. That's not what we should be doing. However, we need to acknowledge that being overweight and obese presents significant risk factors, and including early death, period.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how much you say, you don't know how healthy a fat person is or not, you know, blah, 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 the statistics show, the science shows, the data shows over and over and over again, the heavier you are, the higher your risk factors and the occurrences of multiple diseases, including cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, diabetes. All of these are directly related to overweight and obese. Now, do skinny people get these diseases? Yes, absolutely they do. And does being skinny mean you're not going to get it? No. But it does mean being at your proper weight reduces the risk of that tremendously. And I know that you recently had Dr. Watkins on your show, and he often says, you know, he looks around. One of the things that kind of dawned on him is he started looking around and saying, how many folks over 100 do I know who are overweight? Now, when you think about that, that aunt who's, you know, 103, 104, most of the time, 90% or more, these people are thin because you need to conserve that energy for your heart to keep beating that long. You cannot be overtaxing it with excess weight for years and years and years and years. So people who live into the 90s and 100s generally are going to be at their proper weight or very close to it. And that is because their body is able to endure that long. When you are overweight, you know, you think about picking up two 20-pound weights. To me, that's very heavy. And, you know, when you distribute it evenly over the body, you can kind of walk with it, right? But you do notice the difference. And it's like, so it's like putting a 50, 20-pound weight in each hand and carrying that, you know, for the next 10 years and thinking that you're going to be as agile and mobile as the person you would be if you were able to put that 50 pounds down. Now, we know you can't be that same person. Your body has to work that much harder to pump blood to all of that excess fat and to carry it around. And so it taxes the heart. It taxes a lot of other things. And it shortens the life, period. So, you know, and it affects the quality of life. I mean, you know, you bend over and you're tying your shoe, you're out of breath for a lot of people. And you're not going to sit here and tell me that that doesn't affect quality of life. And so while we celebrate bigness, we need to understand that we need to do this in a correct way. Love and respect people. If you're overweight yourself, love yourself, respect yourself, and do not feel ashamed. However, know that you need to make a change if you want to live a full life, if you want to do the things that you want to do. You know, when I was, you know, struggling with my weight, one of the things that really was an impetus for me was, well, obviously looks. You know, I think I had gotten heavier and I couldn't find clothes in the regular store. So I was in the mall and I was really frustrated and I couldn't find the skirt, dress, suit that I wanted. So I mosey on over to Lane Bryant and I walk in the store and I see all these oversized clothes. And it was a moment for me. And I said, are we going to do this? Are we going to accept where we are? Or are we going to do something different? And I said, at that moment, I turned around and I walked out and I said, I will never shop at this store ever because I am going to do something about this. I realize this is a problem and I'm not going to accept it by just buying bigger clothes. I'm not just going to camouflage my problem by buying bigger clothes and saying I look fabulous when I know I don't feel fabulous because I'm not able to ride my bike and run and rollerblade and get on jet skis and all the things that I like to do. I'm not able to do that with confidence at this weight. I don't have control of my body fully at this weight. I knew that, and so I said, I need to do something about that. Now, there are plenty of overweight people who are dancers and things, and they have agility and all of that, and that's great. That's usually not the norm. So there are exceptions to the rule because I hear people say, well, you know, my aunt so-and-so, you know, eats this, that, and the other, and she's 100. Yes, there are always exceptions, but we're talking about the average person has a lower quality of life when they're overweight because you simply are carrying excess more than your body is designed to handle. So number one, it affects quality of life. Two, it taxes the heart and all the other organs in the body. And then it sets you up for a variety of diseases because your body simply can't handle all of the excess weight, and that excess weight starts disrupting things. It starts disrupting the way food is digested. It starts disrupting the way insulin is uptaken in the body. It starts affecting metabolism. It starts affecting every aspect of everything that goes on in your body. So it starts affecting it slowly, and that's why we have, like, for example, we have this diabetes epidemic directly related to obesity. It's, you know, the higher the weight, the higher the obesity occurrences. It's plain and simple. And so you have a lot of overweight people who are pre-diabetic who aren't doing anything about it. I'm like, look, if you're pre-diabetic, stop. Turn around and go the other way. Stop whatever you're doing and do the opposite of that. Because you don't want to go down that road, because what's so dangerous about these, what we call chronic diseases, is they come in groups. They don't come alone. Diabetes does not come by itself and say, I'm here, I'm just going to hang out with you. No, it brings along with it kidney failure. It brings along with it heart disease. It brings along high blood pressure. And then they bring along their friends and their friends. And then you're on five medications because now, because of your obesity, you have high blood pressure and you take a medication for that. And because of that, then you get diabetes and you take a medication for that. And then you start taxing the kidneys because those things are related. Usually most kidney failure is directly related to diabetes. So then now your kidney is not working fully and you're taking a medication for that. Those medications cause side effects. And what they mean by chronic is means it never goes away, meaning it gets worse. So your kidney failure, you know, problems don't just go away. It just sits there for a good 10, 15 years until it gets worse and you're on more medication. And then before you know it, now you're on dialysis. And that is a terrible quality of life. I just have to say, to have to go and have your blood cleaned every 2 or 3 days a week for hours, all of the blood drained out of your body, cleaned out, and put back in, and then you're very much restricted to what you can and cannot eat, and even healthy foods you can't eat because of the way this blood cleansing works, because now your body isn't cleaning the blood every day, every hour, as it's supposed to. It's only doing it 3 times a week when this is a 24/7 process. And so now you can't drink too much fluid, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't travel too far without finding a clinic to go have this done. So this is why obesity is such a problem, because it leads to these other chronic diseases and death. And we have too many people dying because of obesity.
Everybody, I know that you are sitting riveted to whatever device you're listening on, whether it's the computer, whether it's the phone. And again, I want to give everybody an opportunity to speak with Dr. Lathan. The call-in number, if you're listening online, is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. And if you press 1, again, for those that are listening by phone, I see you up there on the board. If you press 1, then I'll know that you have a question, and I can bring you on and you can ask your question. Wow. Dr. Lathan, you have laid out a very compelling plan or a compelling reason as to why anybody who might be dealing with obesity would want to change their diet, and I like to use the word to a livid, to actually get rid of it, to increase your quality of life, because, again, as I always say, you have a purpose on the planet, and going back and forth to the doctors is not your purpose. It's not what you were put here to do, and you might not ever realize what you were put here to do if, in fact, you keep just going back and forth to the doctors, back and forth to the doctors, back and forth to the doctors, and something like obesity is preventable. Now, what about, because people, I've heard this before when it comes to people that are, you know, have been dealing with obesity, I've heard that the thyroid is an issue, that, you know, I have thyroid problems and that's why, you know, I'm obese. Does the thyroid actually play a role in a person's being obese or not?
It does. Absolutely it does. That's not the majority of the reason why people are obese, however. So, yes, the thyroid can be underactive, and usually it comes along with a lot of other symptoms too that you can diagnose. So generally, the obesity epidemic is not due to just everybody having a thyroid condition. So I would say absolutely there are there are issues with a lot of the food we eat that are causing thyroid disruptions. A lot of processed soy products can cause that, a lot of other things too. So, yes, it can be an issue, but that is not generally the problem that folks are having. And even if the thyroid is the cause, it doesn't mean you can't fix it. It means you got to just fix the thyroid as well as the weight. They go together. So it's not it's not a reason to say, oh, you know, it's the thyroid, so, oh, well, on Delaney mm-hmm. Bryant we go. It's no, let's do something about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if it's not just the thyroid, and you mentioned that the thyroid can be affected by the food that we eat, that's going to affect the thyroid, and it's going to either contribute to the health of the thyroid or take away from the health of the thyroid. So back to food we go. Could you talk about then just the importance of eating healthy and the role that a healthy diet, or shall I say live it, plays in one's either becoming obese or not? Because there are just people who enjoy food. I mean, there are just people, I mean, I'm not obese, but I love to eat, you know, and there are people who just really love food, love the taste of it, love the smell of it, you know. And we'll eventually, during this discussion, talk about the Veggie Chest. That's a show that Dr. Lathan hosts, and she actually teaches people how to prepare healthy food so that if you're going to eat and you're one of the people that love to eat, you can eat, but it's going to be healthy. But could you talk about the role that just eating plays in it, because this is a topic that Dr. Watkins and I discussed the other night too. Was just talking about how there are people that are emotionally attached to food. There's this emotional attachment that it could be, you know, you're eating because you could be sad, you could be eating because you're lonely, you could be eating because you know, this dish that you love so much reminds you of your grandmother who used to make it for you, you know. And there's certain emotional attachments that may come along with why a person loves to eat. But speaking of eating, can we just talk about the importance of, since we've got to eat, you know, just making sure that that food is full of nutrients and not animal fat or dietary fat and things that are going to take away from your overall health?
Sure, sure. I think what makes obesity such a challenging problem is, unlike other, you know, addictions or things like that, you can stop them altogether. You know, if you're addicted to alcohol, you can stop drinking all alcohol, right? You can stop doing certain things. But with food, you have to eat. So you can't just say, I'm just going to stop eating. You know, we have to find a happy medium. And so that's what makes it a challenge. So the food is key. The biggest part of the issue of obesity is the food. So, you know, I usually, when I coach people, I give them a sheet that's got 5 food additives they want to avoid, especially if you're trying to lose weight. Now, it's for anybody, because it's just if you're trying to live healthy. But some of these food additives also prevent weight loss. So those are food additives like high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils, which is also known as trans fat. Then there's other things like MSG and food coloring, and then artificial sugars. Now, a lot of people who are obese or overweight drink a lot of diet sodas because they think they're doing themselves a favor. Now, before I knew much about nutrition, I went that route too. Let me buy all these fat-free diet food and, you know, all this sugar-free cookies and this, that, and the other, because I'm thinking the real reason, you know, I'm weight is just too many calories. It's just too many calories. Now, that's part of the problem. Yes, too many calories is part of the problem, but not all calories are created equal. So I just thought, you know, if I just get all this fat-free, I thought fat and calories are the problem. Cut the calories. So eat a lot of low-fat, low or sugar-free food. And I remember I was buying this stuff, and my sister was looking at me, and she was like, do you really think that's going to work? She's like, if you eat 10 fat-free cookies as opposed to one regular cookie, you know, it kind of adds up. So I don't know if that's going to work for you. So I said, yeah, you have a good point there. And so I kind of, you know, got rid of all the diet food, because I just, you know, just her comments about that just doesn't seem like that's the way to go, because it's a lot of processed, quote, diet food. And again, we talk about, I don't know if we're talking about food manufacturing, it's not designed for health, it's designed to make money. So if they see an area that people are obese and everybody thinks that the problem is just too many calories and too many fat too much fat, they're just going to make products that don't have that. But they have a bunch of other garbage in them, like the high fructose corn syrup and hydrogenated oil and all these things that actually work against your body. For example, the hydrogenated oil raises bad cholesterol, lowers good cholesterol. The high fructose corn syrup disrupts your digestion process, and it actually causes things like leaky gut, which causes inflammation in the digestive tract, which leads to a lot of other illnesses, including obesity. So they're putting these additives in food that people are thinking is healthy because it's on TV, it's called, you know, Fiber One, it's this, that, and the other, and they're talking about all, so they think, oh, this is what I need to do. I need to eat this nasty fiber bar in order to lose weight. When that nasty fiber bar is not only nasty, it's got a bunch of nasty stuff in it that is hampering your health. And then we have this, like I was mentioning, getting to the sugar-free epidemic of using aspartame and all the other fake sugars, Splenda and Equal, and all those pink, red, blue, yellow packages are terrible. Because they trick the body into thinking it's getting sugar, and the body then prepares for it once it tastes that sugar by releasing additional insulin to uptake the sugar that's in the blood, but it never gets that sugar. And so then it causes a lot of other issues that you faked your body out, and now you got excess insulin floating around with nothing to uptake it because you didn't actually have real sugar, you just pretended you did. And so your body then is now repeatedly, over time, you keep doing that, it creates a condition, metabolic syndrome, where all these things are related, excess insulin, insulin resistance, and all these things start happening because you're eating fake food. And your body doesn't know what's going on. And so it's going on its natural way, thinking, you know, this is how it's supposed to work, but you're giving it food that your body doesn't recognize. And so you absolutely want to get rid of any diet products, any sugar-free foods that have been replaced, the sugar's been replaced with fake artificial sugars. You want to stop those immediately. Not only do they cause weight gain, they also are neurotoxins for the brain. So you really don't want to do that. It leads to things like Alzheimer's and other neurological diseases. So you got to dump the fake stuff. That's for starters. There's no shortcut here. You cannot just go and buy a bunch of name brand food that you see advertised on television and think that that's the key, because I thought that initially. I thought, oh, there's this new line of cookies called Snack Wells, and you can snack healthy. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is it, and I can eat this and not worry about gaining weight. And no, it doesn't. It just doesn't work that way. That's you have to eat real food. You cannot eat fake manufactured food and think you're going to lose weight. So the part of the problem is processed food. So we're eating a ton of processed food, and this is what I realized even when I was, you know, starting the cancer recovery. I had, you know, I was really fit at that time and lost a lot of weight, and but I realized I was eating a lot of processed health food, and I realized I had to work out like twice a day to get to my goal weight because of the type of foods that I was eating. Because I was so determined to stay, you know, at a certain weight, I actually had to work out, you know, twice, really hard twice, which isn't what you should have to do just to keep weight off. But if you eat real food, whole food, in its natural form, you don't have to do that. It comes off naturally. And so I was eating a lot of processed health food, you know, things that you microwave, health bars, and all this stuff that I thought was, you know, better than, you know, the fake diet stuff. It was just healthy, but it really wasn't. And again, even that works against you. Processed food is processed to make money, not to feed you. So that is what you have to realize when you're buying this stuff in a box. Most of the time has nothing to do with your health. And so when I say natural foods, meaning foods that mostly are in the produce section, fruits and vegetables and regular grains that haven't been processed. So we're talking brown rice that hasn't been polished and stripped of the hull. You know, we're talking whole grain flours and things like that. and we're talking, you know, just broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and there's a lot of ways to put these things together that taste good that aren't boring. And so you have to re-educate yourself on what to eat. It is a process, and so you have to put down the processed food, put down anything that has any of those items I just talked about, any food coloring, which is a neurotoxin for the brain as well. You want to put those down because those are hallmarks of cheap food, the cheapest food, the mass marketed food, the food that they're expecting the unknowing, gullible public to buy. That's what that food is manufactured for. So hopefully people who are listening are smarter than that and have researched just a little bit to know that's not what I should be eating. You know, and Dr. Watkins also says if it has a commercial, don't buy it. If it has gotten, it's because it's mass marketed for the public who doesn't know. And so that's really the way you want to go. You want to shift where you shop. You cannot. You know, we can talk about what you can eat, but you can't think you can just, you know, go to regular chain restaurants and eat every, you know, a couple times a week and have a healthy weight, or be healthy. Because, again, it's not always. Sometimes we're internally fat, and we're not as fat on the outside, but we got a lot of fat around our organs, too. So if you're eating lots of fast food, lots of chain restaurants, particularly the chain restaurants that have commercials, you're getting all five usually of those things I just mentioned. At least three of the five are going to be in there: hydrogenated oil, high fructose corn syrup, food coloring, MSG. MSG is there to keep you addicted to the food. It's a flavor enhancer, but it's an excitotoxin, so it causes the brain to fire off more neurons than it should and eventually destroy some of them. So that's not what you want, and also keeps you addicted to the food and makes you feel hungrier so that you go buy more of it. I remember when I would eat McDonald's, I'd buy this filet of fish and I would eat it, and as I'm eating it, I'm actually getting hungrier. Now, that is weird, right? It's like, how do you get, like, before you can take the last bite, you're like, I want another one. And that's because of the way that those things have been studied scientifically, not for nutrition, but to keep you hooked and to make you want more so you'll buy more. And so I'd always have to buy two because I know that by the time I finish the first one of empty calories, I'm going to want another one. And so the problem is, those processed foods have a lot of, we call empty calories, meaning they have a lot of calories but no nutrients. So your body realizes that, and then it's asking for more nutrients. It's saying, you know, I didn't get any vitamin K, no vitamin E, no vitamin D. I need more food. I need food with something in it. So you're still seeking food. And then those foods also lack fiber, so you're not very full. When you eat a Krispy Kreme, that air that you're eating has several hundred calories in it, but almost zero fiber, and so you can eat five of them and feel hungry because it was nothing. There was no fiber in it. Fiber is what fills you up, and it's also what takes the toxins out of your body. It takes the free radicals out. So most of the processed food, all the fiber has been taken out, and we've been trained to like fiberless food. We've been trained to prefer white bread to whole wheat bread. We've been trained to prefer, you know, white potatoes instead of red and potatoes that haven't been cooked much. We've been trained to like just crackers and chips that have no fiber as opposed to real food. And so we've been trained to eat food that kills us and like it better. And then when we are presented with real food, we're like, what is this rabbit food? No, you've been eating garbage your life. You don't know what real food is. And so we have to understand that processed food, you eat more of it because there's nothing in there. So it's like eating air with a bunch of calories. And so you end up not full, so you eat more of it. And you also have those things that are making you more addicted to it and hungry. There's a lot of MSG in McDonald's food. I mean, all the things I just mentioned are in that food. I mean, it's like the death center. So you want to stay away from processed food, fast food chains, chain restaurants. You want to stay away from food that has commercials. No, you cannot buy Hamburger Helper and all these other things that make seem so convenient. They're conveniently terrible for you. So we have to, you know, find another way and actually start liking fresh food and fresh vegetables. I used to crave French fries. I crave apples now. I have to have an apple pretty much every day or my body doesn't feel right, you know. So your taste buds will change if you let them. And it usually takes about 3 weeks and you'll start craving fresh food. There's no way I could eat processed cereal and milk for breakfast now when I've been eating, you know, drinking really healthy smoothies for the last, you know, 8 years. There's no way I could go back to eating some processed cereal with milk and think that's healthy because I know that it's not and I know that it's nothing fresh. The other thing is real food has enzymes in it. Live food, lots of raw food has enzymes in it. All processed food has zero enzymes. And so then your body has to produce extra enzymes. And we produce less enzymes as we aged in order to break down that food. So when you do yourself a favor by eating raw foods and foods that have probiotics in them and enzymes, your body is less stressed because it's already ready to be digested. Whereas when you eat processed food, your body has to do twice the work because now it has to get it out of your system without fiber, which is very hard to do. So you're probably a little constipated and backed up. Now it's got to produce extra enzymes to break down the food because there were zero enzymes in it. And then three, it's got to deal with the toxins you just introduced to it because it's processed garbage. And then four, you've got excess calories going on, so it's just going to go ahead and store that as fat. So that's what happens when we eat garbage food. We gain weight.
Everybody, my special guest, if you're just tuning in, is Dr. Ruby Lathan. And I'm fond of saying, wow, and I got to say it, wow. You are getting an education today. The title of the show today is Overcoming Obesity. The time has come. Are you ready? Are you ready? And, you know, before making any major change, like, you know, changing your diet to a livid, then you need education. So a show like this with the information that Dr. Ruby is providing is very beneficial because armed with this information, you can make intelligent choices. You know, now you know. If you didn't know before what was causing this and what this eating this was going to do to the body, you're getting an education today. And, again, I encourage you, while you have Dr. Ruby on the phone, if you have a question, I mean, she's covered it all, but if you have a question that she hasn't covered, okay, then all you have to do if you're listening by phone is press 1, and I'll bring you on board. If you are online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Doctor, if you could you talk about the role you've talked about processed foods? And I do know that if somebody were to come to you and they said, you know, hey, listen, I heard the show on Jawanza for Life, and I am ready. Yes, I'm ready. What do I do now? I know one thing you would not recommend is that they continue, if they do, eat meat, continue to eat meat. I know that would be part of the dietary change, that you would take them off of meat and put them on a vegetarian, a vegan diet. But for those who are listening who might not know, who might say, well, I know skinny people that eat meat. what role, if any, would the consumption of animal flesh have with obesity?
It has a lot. For starters, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that shows, you know, that with the more of the meat consumption, generally the higher the body mass index and the occurrences of diabetes. There's a study with over 60,000 people done by the Adventist Health Study, where they tracked over 60,000 people for over 5 years and tracking their dietary choices and as well as their health outcomes. And what it showed was that there was a direct trend related to the closer you were to a vegan diet, the closer your body mass index was to normal, under 25 to like 24, which is below the obesity marker. So it had it broken up into categories such as, you know, a traditional American diet to pescatarian, meaning almost vegetarian, but they eat fish. And then they have the ovo-lacto-vegetarian, meaning you eat no meat, but you eat eggs and milk products. And then they had the vegan diet, meaning you don't eat any animal products or animal derivatives. And you could see the direct trend as the closer you got to a completely plant-based diet, the lower the body mass index was. And we were talking about, you know, BMI earlier, that the closer that is to normal, the less the incidences of several diseases goes along with that. The same trend showed up for diabetes. And, of course, that's probably because obesity and diabetes kind of go together. You know, they're bedfellows, so to speak. So that's number one. There's studies that show the benefits of a plant-based diet on several levels. So the reason I switched to a plant-based diet wasn't because I was jumping on some new trend, you know, that I said, oh, let me be vegan. It was because I had no preconceived ideas of how to cure my body. I just wanted to know what. So I started searching with an open mind, like, tell me what I need to do. And repeatedly the research came up with how plant-based diets heal the body of many different ailments, including obesity, meaning when you're eating food close to its natural form, the body knows what to do with it. So you're eating lots of greens, the body's happy because it's getting enzymes, it's getting fiber, it's getting vitamin K and all these other vitamins that it needs to live. So it can process that and it doesn't store it as fat. So that's number one. When you're eating meat and dairy products, there's no fiber in them. There's zero fiber in meat and dairy products. Fiber is key for many things. I mean, so you must eat, if you're eating meat, you know, which you shouldn't, but if you are, you know, it shouldn't be the main thing. Over half your plate needs to be green to compensate for the lack of fiber and nutrients in that dead piece of meat. So, and most people don't do that. Usually the plate is half of a meat, a fourth of a, maybe, you know, a tiny bit of a green, and then some processed starch or bread. And so you don't even give yourself a fighting chance when you do it that way, when the majority of the plate needs to be green. But when you don't consume meat products, you don't introduce those toxins. You don't introduce meat, which is very difficult for the body to digest and process. It takes a lot longer for the body to break down meat products than it does plant products, period. And then if you're eating it with no live foods, meaning greens and things like that that are, you know, haven't been overcooked or cooked, then you have no enzymes, so then the body's got to create those and expend that energy to break that down. And so it's much harder, not to mention it's obviously higher in calories, a lot higher in saturated fat and cholesterol. There's no cholesterol in plant foods. You only get that in animal products, in dairy and meat products. You only get antioxidants in plant products, in plant foods, in greens and berries and fruits and all those things. They're the only ones that have antioxidants. Antioxidants take the free radicals, which cause cancer and a lot of other things, and aging out of the body. So fiber and antioxidants work together to clean up your body. When you eat meat, you go to KFC and you have a nice golden biscuit and chicken and mashed potatoes and a tablespoon of coleslaw. You have done nothing for your body. You have just like said, here, body, you know, I'm giving you a death sentence. Make it work. Because now there's zero fiber in there. There's a bunch of toxins. There's a bunch of cholesterol. There's a bunch of saturated fat and hormones, excess hormones that we don't need. And your body, and you've given it no enzymes, no antioxidants, no fiber, no nutrients to help take that out of your system. So it just sits there, and over time it backs up, and then you know, you're not going to the bathroom multiple times a day as you should. You should have a bowel movement almost as many times as you eat, or it's very scant, you know. These things add up over time, and then before you know it, you're having irritable bowel syndrome, you're having lots of gas, you're having pain and things like that we think are aging. Now it just takes the body compensates for as long as it can until until it can't anymore. And so it's just the buildup. It's not because, oh, you're getting older. It's because your body can't take it anymore. And so that's what's killing us, not age. And I've seen so many people in the last several months, lots of high-profile people who are just dying at 60 and 70 who really shouldn't be dying suddenly like that. But a lot of times it's due to, you know, suddenly all that meat catches up with you and you have a sudden heart attack, you know. So absolutely meat is you want to take that out of your diet. It introduces toxins and cancers and other things and does make it a lot harder to lose weight. So on a plant-based diet, not only do you take in fewer calories and less the animal protein is very hard for the body to process as well, where plant proteins, the body does a lot easier with those. So you're not taxing the body and taxing the kidneys with animal protein when you eliminate meat from the diet. So there's numerous studies that show the benefits of a plant-based diet or vegetarian, vegan diet all over the place. So it really can't be disputed. It's really about changing your mindset and saying, how do I do it? Not, is this weird or something like that. It's how do I do it? How do I make it taste good? How do I make it something that I can do for the long term? That's really where we want to focus. And as you mentioned on the veggie chest, that's what I do. I show people how to have really interesting plant-based, usually raw foods to make them interesting. Anything, everyone always loves the creamy collards, which are raw. And it has a nice sauce on top of them. So it's got avocado, it's got raw collard greens, it's got garlic, it's got bell pepper, yellow bell pepper, all these things that have tons of antioxidants and fiber that are like, it's like a happy party for your body when you eat that. It's like you cannot feel bad and eat that food. But these other processed foods cause depression and a lot of other things because they're bereft of the vitamins that you need, and they're very draining on the body. So you feel tired after you eat as opposed to energized. So I would say, you know, you've eaten the wrong thing if it immediately makes you tired. You ate the wrong thing and too much of the wrong thing, because food is fuel and energy. It is an energy source. And so the food you eat should make you have fuel to keep going, not make you sleepy. It's not to be a sleeping pill. So that's one cue. So I'd say, you know, start with eating more raw foods, more whole foods, to just supplement what your body's already trying to do, keep you alive.
You know, I want to get to, again, talk a bit further about the veggie chest, because you mentioned eating raw foods, and I think people, you know, we get images when we hear words, and I think that people, when they hear the word raw foods, they're going to think carrots.
I think almost none of my recipes have carrots. So absolutely, they do associate it with, the word vegan has a pretty heavy stereotype with it as well. And so we just have to educate ourselves on what that means. So they can go to YouTube and just type in the Veggie Chest, or you can go to theveggiechest.org or .com, either one, it'll get you there. Or you can go to my website, rupeelathan.com, where it'll have the videos that are associated with the recipes there. So we're talking about, I did a raw pizza, for example, a week or so ago. It was incredible. Everyone absolutely loved it. We made a crust out of almonds and basil and garlic. And then we made our own cheese sauce out of cashew cheese. And then we put sun-dried tomatoes and onions and garlic and all kinds of things for a sauce, and marinated mushrooms and parsley and a bunch of stuff together and put that on top. And it was incredible. No one would sit here and say, oh, I'm eating nasty raw rabbit food. No, rabbits don't eat this. So, and it's not, and the other thing about when you go toward a plant-based diet, you really don't have to do the calorie counting. And people are always so surprised with that, because they're always saying, well, how much of this should I eat? When you eat raw, real food, you don't have to worry about it because you can't eat too much of it because it gets you full so fast because of the fiber that's in it. So you don't have to do the calorie counting and the weighing and all of that. You just eat real food and your body knows when to stop. A lot of times we often eat too fast. I have to remind myself to slow down. But again, when you eat real food, it's hard. You have to chew it because it's not been processed with all the fiber out of it. It takes you longer to chew the food, and it's much more dense, and you get full a lot faster, so you don't have to do that calorie counting. You don't have to worry about the fat in food because a plant-based diet is naturally lower in fat because you're getting most of your fat from meat and dairy products and processed food. When you take those out, there's very little fat. You're going to get most of your fat from nuts and seeds, and that's it, and that's good, and that's okay. So you can afford to have that fat and not worry about it. Fat is not the enemy. It's the wrong types of fat. So I put a tablespoon of, you could call it fat, in my smoothie every day. It's coconut oil, but it's a different type of fat. It's got medium chain fatty acids, which break down in the body a lot quicker, and it's used as fuel and energy right away, whereas meat-based fats, other fats are long-chain fatty acids, which take much longer to break down and be used as energy, and they end up getting stored as fat. So that's why you can put coconut oil, and you can eat avocados, and you can eat nuts on a plant-based diet. I'm not saying that's what you're mainly eating, but I'm saying you can include those foods and not worry about getting fat because you're eating real food. And I think I was talking the other night about how I broke my foot in January, and I was a little bit concerned because I couldn't work out about gaining weight because I was going to have to literally put my foot up and keep it iced and elevated for like 3 months. And so I was like, how is this going to work, you know, with just literally sitting around all day working from home, but, you know, sitting literally. And, you know, I decided to go sugar-free with it and not do any processed sugar at all. So I was looking at anything that had sugar sources like ketchup and obviously cookies and things like that that just had to go. And then I started adding coconut oil to the smoothies, and I lost 10 pounds sitting around, literally sitting around. So I know this works because I don't have to struggle anymore when I eat real food. I don't have to work out twice a day to maintain my body weight like I used to. I can, and exercise is good. You do need to exercise. You do need to move. The body is meant to move. You absolutely do. But studies show that diet has more than twice the, if not 10 times the effect, more of a greater effect than exercise. You cannot exercise away a Big Mac, okay? You cannot exercise the fiberless food away. It helps, but there are a lot of runners who end up with sudden heart attacks because they're eating Big Macs and thinking they can run it off when it's still clogging the arteries on the inside, even though they look good on the outside. So you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. It starts with the diet. The exercise keeps you young. It keeps you mobile. It keeps you moving. It keeps you healthy. What you put in your diet is going to be the main predictor of your weight.
Doctor, I'm sitting up here in awe of all of this information that you're sharing because, again, it's so necessary, it's so needed, and I'm sure that the people that are listening are benefiting immensely from it. As a matter of fact, we've got a caller. Somebody wants to speak with you. I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number, 4356. Welcome to Juwanza for Life. You're on the air with Dr. Ruby Lathan.
Hi. I just wanted to quickly ask a question about what do you drink? Because I have this aversion to water, and I'm trying to drink water, but it's hard for me to do it. And I've gotten away from the sodas. I used to drink sodas religiously. But what is healthy to drink?
That's an excellent question. That is an excellent question. I'm glad you brought it up because a lot of people drink a majority of their calories as liquid calories in juices and sodas. And so a lot of people just lose weight by cutting juice and soda, period. So for you, unfortunately, the best thing to drink is water. That's going to be numero uno. So You might put lemon in the water. You might put some lime. You could put some peppermint leaves. You can put some strawberries in it. Whatever you need to do to make it exciting, drink the water. Even if you do sparkling water, would be better than not drinking water. So a lot of people who transition from soda, sometimes they go to sparkling water because it still gives that mouth feel and it's not as, you know, quote, boring as water. But your taste buds will change and you'll start craving water more. But kind of like putting lemon with sparkling water really gives a little more lively than regular water, and you want, you know, purified water, not tap water, because it tastes better, you know. So a lot of times people don't like water because they're drinking basic tap water, which to me tastes terrible. So I could understand why you might not like it. So try some different waters. You know, they have some different purifiers at some of the health food stores where you can refill your bottles. I know, like at Mom's Organic Market, and even at Walmart, they have I think it's a quadruple filtration system where you can refill your bottles. That water actually tastes really good. So not all water is created equal. So you might want to try a different type of water. But things to drink other than water, there are not that many. Coconut water is good. It's very hydrating for the body. It's very good. Herbal teas are really good. We just don't want to be adding a lot of sugar. We don't want to be adding sugar at all. If you're going to add something to it, you know, coconut nectar might be a little bit. Raw agave nectar might be something. Very small amounts, though. We want to get used to drinking our beverages without sugar. So those kombucha is something that I do recommend. It's a tea. It's a fermented tea that it's refrigerated, but it's got tons of enzymes and probiotics that are really good. Vegetable juice, and that you've pressed yourself. So what you want to stay away from is any pasteurized, store-bought juices, lemonades, all those things. Basically, that's just another form of sugar, which sugar converts to fat very quickly. So you really want to, the more direct the sugar gets into your system, the faster it goes to fat. So when you eat, you know, more whole foods, it breaks down the sugar very slowly. And when you eat plant proteins with it, like nuts and beans and seeds, it slows down that sugar absorption, whereas when you eat something like a donut, immediate conversion or uptake and stored as fat. So that's what happens when you're drinking like orange juice and apple juice and all that. It's just direct sugar. So you have to eliminate, even though juices seem healthy, they've been pasteurized and all the fibers out of them. But when you press your own vegetable juice and put just a little bit of fruit in it, like apples or pears, to sweeten it up, that's something you could drink. It has a lot of nutrients in it. But it's going to be water and tea and coconut water and maybe some kombucha is would be my recommendation. And then just try spicing up the water.
Thank you for your call, Queen Renee. What about stevia for a sweetener? Stevia okay?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Stevia is a natural sweetener because it's not sugar at all. It's just a sweet leaf, tasting leaf of a plant. So, yes, you can use stevia. I wouldn't buy the name brand Truvia. They usually process that and add some things to it. It'd be best if you get the green leaf stevia, where it's still green like the plant, where it's really just the crushed up leaves of the plant. And use very small amounts, like drops. You really have to start with drops because it's so strong, it will overpower something very quickly. So some people do use that in their teas, and that's fine. With smoothies, I say you can use dates because a date is a whole food and it has tons of nutrients in it, and that is what you use to sweeten up your smoothies as opposed to even agave or coconut nectar. It's more natural to use a whole piece of fruit, dried fruit, to sweeten it. And if you have a sugar craving, I found that eating dates, like with an almond or two inside, cuts the sugar craving right away. And so that's one way to help get over some of the addictions that we have to sugar. I mean, because that often happens, you know, which is one, you know, reason some people struggle with weight is because of the sweets. And so you do have to cut that. And while you're cutting it, your body's going to be craving some processed sugar. But if you give it some dates with some almonds, the almonds are there to slow down the absorption of sugar because it's protein. And with the dates, and it cuts the sugar craving pretty easily in a very healthy way.
Wow. I have a question about fasting, doctor. When it comes to fasting, you know, people might, who are, you know, decided that they wanted to lose weight, and they said, you know what, I believe that it's time for me to, you know, go on a fast. They created over the years this relationship with food. Now, just like in any, you know, relationship, when we're talking about male-female relationships or just love relationships, then if the relationship has gone bad, oftentimes you need a break from that person, okay? You just mm-hmm. need to just get away from that person, even if it's temporarily. Sometimes you just need a break. The relationship has gone sour. Sometimes you just need to just stop dealing with that person, at least momentarily. So even for people who've developed a bad relationship with food, okay, would you advise fasting as a means to just take that break? Okay, I've developed this bad relationship with food. I overeat. I eat the wrong stuff, you know, and maybe I just need to just get away from it for a while. I know I'm going to have to come back to it, but just to get my body back together, I just need a break from food. So could you just talk about fasting and, you know, how to do it and, you know, the benefits of it?
Sure. I think fasting is excellent cleanse for the body. It does give the body a break and time to repair, and it does help break the food addictions, absolutely. Especially if you do it for, you know, like 10 days or something. It definitely, any length of a fast is going to be beneficial, whether it's a day or 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, it's going to be beneficial. So it does help break the dependency on the food and allow you to focus on something else. We do use food as a emotional crutch. I mean, we've been introduced to using food as, you know, part of celebrations and things like that for a long time. We feel happy, we eat, you know, we go out to dinner and things like that, and that's fine, but sometimes those relationships get overstepped, and we use it as a comforter when we feel depressed or sad or angry. And I knew that used to be something that I realized I was doing. I'd suddenly, and it's not something that we just make up consciously, you know, I would might have got off the phone with someone and not feel really great about the conversation, and suddenly I'm hungry. Even though I ate dinner an hour ago, I just feel hungry now. And that's because I had developed this relationship with, because food releases dopamine, which makes good food that you like does anyway, not all food. So it releases dopamine, and it makes you feel better. And so I was sitting there trying to feel better, not realizing that that was causing a fake hunger. I wasn't really hungry. I just wanted to feel better. And so, and eating like something like, you know, ice cream would immediately make you feel better because it releases dopamine, which makes you feel good. But then it makes you feel bad later because of all the sugar, which then causes depression, and then you eat more, and then there's a cycle. So we have to learn how to deal with our emotions and recognize the triggers that literally make us feel hungry when we're not. A lot of times it's dehydration, that we just need to drink water. And so just develop a habit of, if you know you should not be hungry, drink a glass of water and wait 20 minutes and then reevaluate. You know, and usually by then the hunger's gone, especially if you go do something else. And then the other key is to keep junk food out of the house, so that you're not tempted. So, and I know lots of people who say, oh, this is for the kids. I'm like, why are you feeding your kids junk? Why are you setting them up like that? You realize you're developing lifelong habits that they're, when they're your age, they're going to have to break. So it's not acceptable to have junk food in the house and say it's for the kids. It really, really, really isn't. It's like giving death on a plate to your kids. So stop doing that, people. So getting back to fasting, yes, it definitely helps break the addiction to food. It allows your digestive tract to rest. It allows you to get like mega nutrients from the juices that you're drinking. It's very cleansing and it's very healing. And you will generally lose about a pound a day on a juice fast. You can do it 30 days. It's something very healthy to do. You usually have to include some coconut water or sea salt to make sure you're getting your electrolytes, but you can do that. When you start eating, yes, you'll gain weight, but you will not gain it all back if you start, especially if you start on raw food, you'll gain very little of that weight back. Because just by virtue of eating, you're going to gain weight, but you will gain very little of it back, and you will be able to keep the majority of the weight off that you lost if you start eating. And usually when you break a fast, you have to break a fast with like fruits and very light foods for a couple of days before you get to the heavier foods. And so, and then if you switch to just eating raw foods, like let's say you do a 14-day fast of juices and then you do another, you know, 14, 30 days of mainly raw foods, you will completely cleanse your body, break those food addictions, because eating a raw food diet helps break those addictions absolutely just as well, too. And then you're well on your way to having readjusted your relationship with food. And because basically you don't use raw foods and juices as comfort foods. We generally use junk food as comfort food because of the quick release of the dopamine and the way that they are formulated to give us that addictive feeling. So juicing is definitely beneficial, and it can be a helpful weight loss aid to kickstart the weight loss. And a lot of people use it for maintenance. You know, sometimes they've, like, you know, gained 2 or 3 pounds. I mean, we make fun of people who say, oh, I gained 3 pounds, and, you know, everybody else rolls their eyes like, what's 3 pounds? But it starts with 3 pounds, right? You don't just gain 30 pounds overnight. It starts with those 2 or 3 pounds. And some people will do a cleanse or a juice fast to get off those 3 pounds to stay at around their target weight. So it is an effective thing. It has multiple benefits, including weight loss.
Dr. Layson, I know that there is somebody, not just somebody, not a somebody, but some people that want to get in contact with you after hearing this powerful, powerful show. You broke it down, my sister, and you, again, have given a very compelling reason why anyone who might be suffering from obesity, you've given them hope, you've let them know that they can do it. Not just that they can do it, but why they must do it. And, again, I want to thank you so much for being my special guest today. And I know that, again, people are going to want to get in contact with you. Could you please share your information, your contact information, where people can reach you if they would like to, you know, get in contact with you, even if they're hearing this and they might want you to come out and do a workshop or a lecture or mm-hmm. something. Could you please give your contact information, how people can reach you?
Sure. It's you can get me at ruby@rubylathan.com for my email, ruby@rubylathan.com. You can reach me by phone at 202-709-7829, and you can also reach me through my website at rubylathan.com. And I have a couple of upcoming events that I'll be speaking at. There's Vegan Soul Fest in Baltimore on Saturday, this Saturday the 19th. So folks want to come out and taste delicious, healthy vegan food. We'll have that available there, and I'll be giving the basics of vegan nutrition talk. There's a raw food festival on the week after that, September 26th. I'll also be doing some demos of some raw food. You can come and sample that there on September 26th, and that's in D.C. And these will be on my website, so you can go and check those out. Or if you're on Facebook, you can go to my page, TheRubyLathan.com, and at Facebook, and look me up there, and you'll see information about those. So, and then there's the D.C. Veg Fest, the first weekend in October, the first Saturday, October 3rd. Where there's tons and tons and tons of vegan food for you to taste for free and check it out. Lots of cool things you can buy, and I'll be there as well with a booth, and you can get some yummy stuff there. So there's a lot of events coming up in the next 3 weeks. So every Saturday for the next 3 weeks, there's something you can go to and check it out.
Dr. Lazen, again, I want to thank you so much for this powerful, powerful interview. You have, again, given a lot of information, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to this show again. And if you know that there's somebody that did not hear this information and you are like, as you're listening to this show, you're thinking to yourself, wow, oh, I sure wish so-and-so would have heard this. Well, the show is archived. After approximately 30 minutes after the show, you'll be able to go back and listen to it again. And again, if you're listening online, you obviously have the link. You can share that. You can email the link. You can, you know, you can text the link, you know. So definitely make sure that you give that information to somebody that you know that needs it. And if the information is for you, then I thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I mean, this could be the answer to a prayer. This could be what you were looking for. And you don't have to go this road alone. It's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world to do, to change your diet. And again, like Dr. Ruby said earlier in the broadcast, it's important that you're going to need to surround yourself with other people that understand the decision that you've made and are willing to support you in that decision. And if there are vegetarian groups out here, I mean, there are different, all kinds of groups. All you got to do is just do a little research. You know, there are all kinds of vegetarian, vegan groups out here that support one another in this process. And so I encourage you, if you're about to make this shift, to definitely get in contact with a support group, because you're going to need it on this path. And again, it's worth the effort. You're worth the effort. Dr. Lathan, any parting words for our listeners before we close?
Sure. I know it's a struggle, and a lot of people get discouraged because they've tried, you know, numerous diets before that didn't work, or they gained weight back. And I've been there, so I understand the struggle. But to know that it is possible when you do it the right way, it is a lifestyle change. It's not a diet. A vegan, vegetarian, plant-based diet is not a diet. It is a lifestyle change that allows you to have all the benefits of it, which includes weight loss and just a healthier body, period. And so you got to do what you haven't done in order to get what you haven't got. So, you know, try something new, knowing that this is a healthy way to do it. It's so many benefits, and just don't be complacent, and, you know, do what you have to do, make the necessary changes, and don't listen to people who say, oh, you know, you look fine, or, you know, one of the crazy things people would say to me is like, oh, you're too skinny, or you look sick, and, you know, we get a lot of that in our culture, in our communities, which really angers me, because we've created our own norm of healthy being overweight, and we need to stop that and ignore people who say that, and realize that they're just speaking from a place of lack of knowledge. And so, you know, do this for yourself, do it for your family, you know, find whatever motivation you need to find to make this work, but know that it does work if you do it, and it's not, you know, another setup for failure. This is actually a lifestyle change that will save your life.
Dr. Lathan, you have it. You have said it. You have laid it out there. And for those who have tuned in, you tuned in for a reason. Obviously, you knew the title when you tuned in. Overcoming Obesity, the time has come. Are you ready? And I think that after hearing a show like this, you have to admit that, yes, I'm ready. And, again, you can contact Dr. Lathan. Again, she's going to be speaking in Baltimore. She's going to be speaking in Washington. Go to her website, rubylathan.com. Is that correct, doctor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And find out where she's going to be. You can contact her by telephone. You have it all. You have it, and now it's in your hands. Now she laid it out for you. You tuned in for a reason. Now the question that you have to ask yourself is, what am I going to do? Okay? You don't have an excuse. There are reasons for a lot of things. But now, again, as I'm fond of saying, some things, it gets to a point where it's a matter of life or death. And you have an opportunity to choose life. You have an opportunity to make a decision that's going to keep you here longer with your children. And you might say, I don't have children. Well, it's going to enhance the quality of your own life. You are worth the effort, and you will be amazed at the results that you see. I can't think of a better person that I could have had come on to speak about this, what's become an epidemic. And we didn't even really get a chance to get into childhood obesity. That's a show within itself. I have to have Dr. Ruby back for that. You know. So, Doctor, again, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the listeners. Thank you so much for your time. Again, share this information with somebody that you know, because there are so many people out here that need it. For the people that are listening, I know you're ready to look in the mirror again and love what you see again. You can love yourself now, and the test is love yourself enough. Love yourself enough to make the changes that are necessary for you to make so that you can live a healthy, disease-free lifestyle. So now that you can, so that you can get down and tie your shoes, like Dr. Ruby said, without being out of breath, okay? So that you can walk and run and do the things that you love to do. The time is now. Are you ready? Dr. Ruby, thank you so much, my sister. Awesome, awesome interview. All I can say is, wow, you're such a blessing, and I thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you once again for having me. Always have a good time with you.
I'm numb. I'm numb. Until the next time, I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you. Everybody, again, that was Dr. Ruby Lathan. Give her a call. She laid it out for you. I know you're ready. It's time to start loving yourself again. It's time to start loving what you see again. You can get back to the way that you were. Remember? You remember? When you look at the photo album and you see yourself and you remember when you were that size, you can be that size again. That's right. You can be that size again. Didn't this show give you hope? It should have. And now the ball is in your court. Now you've been given the information, and now it's time to live again. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. I certainly appreciate your time. Until the next time, I love you. Peace.